Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. I've got a guest with me in the moment who I'm going to introduce. The next hour, we're going to have a Trev in. Now, Trev is going to come and talk to us about suicide in tradies. Now, if you've got a tradie in your family or you know someone, look, try and get them to listen to us between 1 and 2 because there's some terrible stats that are coming out, which we're going to talk about. And Trev's been down the track, so he knows all about it. We'll talk to him and we'll find everything about it. And then between 2 and 3... we've got the Hillsville Probus to come in. They're reactivating and they're trying to, well, they are building it up, so we want to hear, we had them in a while ago, we want to hear what they've done in the past few months and also what they've got planned. But first of all, it's my pleasure to introduce Kathy. Now, Kathy's with the Discovery Community Care in Mount Evelyn. So first of all, welcome, Kathy.
Thank you, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Now, the first thing I've got to ask you, what is Discovery Community Care?
So Discovery Community Care historically would be known for food relief, and we've done different things over the past where we've been connected to whether it be Work for the Dole or a coach mentor program. But yeah, what we are doing in this season is a real highlight and a focus on social connection, and we definitely recognise the current season people find themselves in is social isolation. I know that the pandemic and COVID would have highlighted some of that for people, how isolated they felt. But we can see more than ever post-pandemic that people acknowledge the fact that they feel very disconnected. It probably has highlighted, you know, that they have a lack of support around them. And we are focusing our efforts on creating community initiatives where people can come and be in this space. So our community lunch on Wednesdays is a real highlight for people in their week. They come along. And the hope is that they would find a space to contribute and be known as well. And so it's a wonderful thing where
people... And meet other people.
Meet one another. So we're loving the fact that at the lunch, people will sit around the table and they'll find out, oh, this person actually has a resource that I need for myself, and it might be a connection for a job, it might be a resource to write a letter. It's all sorts of things that they need to make their life go well. And around the table, at the table, having wonderful conversations over a meal that is cooked by a community member.
Can't do better than that. Yeah. One of the things that I know the listeners will know, because I'm always talking about social isolation, which you just touched on, one of the biggest problems is that they do say that unless we can turn this around at the rate that social isolation is taking over, with mainly the elderly, I must say, that it will turn out to be a bigger killer than heart attacks and cancer. Because I'll just paint a very quick scenario. Husband and wife both work. They plan on when the husband retires, they're going to buy a van, do a trip around Australia, do all sorts of trips. The husband dies. Very often the wife hasn't worked, hasn't driven, I mean, not worked. They often they've worked. And all of a sudden they're at home. And if you're going to sit at home all day long, we had one lady we interviewed that just never got out of a nightie all day for nearly 12 months. So I totally agree with your isolation. And let me just ask you this too, that these people come to the lunches on a Wednesday, but I guess having made a connection with some of those other people, they could quite easily meet them down the street when they're doing the shopping and have coffees and that too, could they?
Absolutely. And the wonderful thing that we're noticing happening is that I've heard of stories where they're actually meeting and they'll go for a walk around the lake in Lilydale before they'll come to the lunch. So they're actually working out for themselves what else can they add beyond the lunch that actually helps them feel connected in community. And I agree, now probably seeing people at the shops that they would never have noticed before or known, but it actually makes a difference to actually be able to say hello when you're passing by someone. We have people that have, you know, really let us know that even their, whether it be their therapist would say to them, you know, what are you doing right now? Because whatever you're doing, you actually look the happiest I've ever seen you.
Terrific.
Yeah. Yep. And so if you think about it, like I was, you know, we actually medicate loneliness. And isn't that a sad reality of our society?
Yep.
So when people feel lonely, like you go to the GP and you talk about it and you might be feeling depressed and they get given some medication to try and help them, and it's not the remedy. Yeah, it's not the remedy. And so what we need to do, and what we're finding is super helpful, is if people can find a place to belong and be known and be seen, because then they know they're going to get missed, you know, because if you think about what loneliness creates for people, it's often that thing of, would people notice if I let myself go, like suicide or whatever the choice would be, like you talked about the tradies suiciding. And I think, you know, we're living in a culture now that we're so disconnected that I think people feel like they could opt out of life and no one would notice.
See, the, what I was going to say, one of the funny sides is, but it's not really funny, but is that we're more connected with devices than we've ever been, and yet people are still very, very lonely because being at home, you can get on, you can play on Facebook, none of it's going to do you a whole lot of stimulation.
No.
pardon me. And I could see a person, male or female, doesn't matter, sitting at home and saying, oh, I've got to do the shopping. And they just race down into one of the supermarkets, go down, get whatever they need, and they go home. But if they've met people at your organisation, they must run into other people. So all of a sudden, instead of they've only ever spoken to the cashier, all of a sudden they could talk to three or four people that they've met at your organisation.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like what we're noticing is, and what you probably already know, Alan, is that social connection is a high protective factor for people's mental health and well-being. And it's for all the reasons of when you feel like you're a bit overwhelmed with whatever comes up in your life, who have you got to turn to have a conversation with, what are the resources you can access, and we're limited beings, like we, you know, we don't have all the answers ourselves, but in a community of people, you know, if you're sitting around in a room where there's 30 or 40 people, you would hope that someone in that room has got something that you might need for your current circumstance.
And we're social people.
Yeah.
I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Travelling in a freighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Where women go and men wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
of course, that was our favourite song, Men at Work, with Down Under. And, of course, the America's Cup, when we won it, was terrific. I don't think we've ever got anywhere near winning it again. But anyway, we're here talking to Kathy from the Discovery Community Care over in Mount Evelyn. Now, Kathy, you were talking about the meal that you do today. How many sort of people do you get there? I shouldn't say how many sort. How many people do you get there?
Yeah, so on average, we're probably filling our room to be between 30 and 40 would be our capacity.
Yep.
And that would include our volunteers. So, yeah, we're around 30 each week is probably the number.
So what are the qualifications for the people to come?
Absolutely nothing. Just be a human.
So do they have to pre-book or do they just rock up or what do they do?
No. So I guess the way that it has evolved for the community lunch is that with our history of being a food relief organisation,
yep,
people have come for food.
And was that mainly just because of COVID?
No, it's, I guess, historically what our, the community welfare part of our church was,
yep,
that in terms of offering food relief.
Yep.
And so it has had a long history in that way, and we still do offer food relief. And I guess as an organisation, we wanted to see that shift where people who have been recipients in our space, where we've, yep, been happy to help, that they would actually find it within themselves to become contributors in the space.
Absolutely.
And we're, yep, finding in that transition for ourselves as an organisation, we're finding the people are finding a joy to contribute. So what qualifies them, there's no real criteria as such, because what would happen is people are welcome to come to the lunch. They don't need to book in.
Yep.
It's from 11:30, people can arrive on a Wednesday, and we say until about 2:30, and that's our community meal on a Wednesday. On the Thursday, we open up for the food relief to the public, and that's from 12 till 6. And so, historically, the ones that are in the lunch space have been the ones that have been the recipients of food, and now they are the ones that are preparing the meal, serving the meal.
That's the next question I want to ask.
Yeah.
You're serving a meal down there today for up to 30 people.
Yep.
So who actually cooks the meals and who prepares them and does all the work?
Yeah. So we started off with one gentleman who, and the way it started really was he would come in every week from the food he was accessing from the organisation. He would just reel off all these amazing recipes to me.
Yeah.
And I was salivating listening to him because it was always amazing. I could tell that he just had a real natural talent and flair for cooking. And so I said to him, would you be interested to cook a community meal one time? So we started, yeah, with him as one person.
Was he a chef or just had a real interest?
Just has a great creative flair. And so not a trained chef, just creative, I would say, in his cooking.
Terrific.
So
yeah.
So that gentleman's name is Ken. I'm sure he wouldn't mind being acknowledged. So he was our guinea pig for the process.
Yep.
And then he loved it so much. And we started him on a fortnightly thing just to not make it too,
yep,
onerous. And then we had another gentleman, Chris, who was keen to also join in. And so then he became also the alternate fortnight. So there were two gentlemen last year that kind of started.
Yep.
But now today we've got a lady who's joined in, Jocelyn. And so these are all community members. And so these people have been ones that we've got to know over the time with receiving food.
So they've been coming to you to get food.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then they are actually enjoying this contribution that they offer back to the organisation,
yep,
and that they actually get to use their gifts and talents, you know. So today is actually Jossie with her mum cooking. And so we've actually got people now, one will take the first week, the second week, the third week and the fourth week. And I had someone the other day ask, you know, could they become one of the cooks?
Yep.
And I said, we actually need to have 6 weeks in the month to be able to cater for everyone,
yep,
which is a really good problem to have.
Yep.
And we find that if, you know, we've got school holidays and we're not open for that time, they actually miss the fact that they've had to delay until they can cook again. So it's a really good thing for them to look forward to, I think. And a lot of these people would say they are singles, some of them. So to cook for, yep, others is a real treat.
Yep, and very often if you're a single, you don't make big meals and you don't sort of go out too wide, do you? Because
no,
you're only cooking for one. All right, so you've got plenty of cooks because you've got enough for each week. But what about, do you have other people come in and serve up and clean up and that?
So the way it has evolved naturally is, yeah, the chef of the day,
yep,
likes to be the one that serves the meal.
Yep.
We definitely open up the day with letting them announce what they've cooked. Some give us the fancy, you know, Spanish term for chicken and rice, which is a lot of fun. And then as far as then who's serving the meal, again, community members have just stepped up and they'll start serving. And so as volunteers in the space, we try and hold back and let the community run the show. And they really are doing that. And so they say it's the highlight of their week.
Well, I guess apart from the fact that, some of them are coming along to have a meal, but I guess it comes back to the same thing, doesn't it? Those people are coming out every week or fortnight or whatever it is, and actually putting something back into the to the community, which I think is a great thing. One of the best things a community do, forget about governments, and I'm not going to slag off it, any government, I don't particularly like governments, and councils and that, they will do what they want to do, whereas a community will do, they know what the community wants.
And to be honest, that was kind of the, I was going to say the word instruction or mandate, but as far as in my role, my leadership have asked that we would actually listen to the community and find out what they do want and then actually take on board. And we found that in terms of when we have an ear to hear what they've got to say, we can then develop what they need. So that's kind of how we're approaching it.
Got to take another quick break and we'll certainly be back with more.
When the sun beats down and burns the tar upon the roof, and your shoes get so hot, you wish your tired feet were fireproof.
Kathy, and she's with the Discovery Community down in Community Care, I should say, down in Mount Evelyn. Kathy, now you talk about on a Tuesday you have food relief. So a Thursday, I got the wrong day. Well, I'd better change that, hadn't I? I didn't listen hard enough, did I? First of all, I've got to ask you, how do you get the stuff, the material, or the food that you hand out? Secondly, is there any criteria for the people to come and get it? Do they have to prove to you that they really need it? And thirdly, who hands it out?
Sure.
Yeah. Three questions in one.
All right, let's see if I can get them all, Alan. So where do we get the food from? predominantly a food rescue, and we've got contracts with Second Bite, which means that's the Coles supermarkets where they have now their criteria to not fill the landfill. Yep. So we pick up from many stores around about us.
Do you yourself or this other group does?
We've got lots of volunteers that we engage to do the food pickup. Yeah, and it's quite labour intensive, but it's so worth it because, you know, in a month, and I was going to get this stat last night, but I remember I recorded it recently, I'm pretty sure we're close to 4 tonne in a month of food rescue, but I think we've increased that since I got that stat.
Yep.
So that's nearly a tonne a week. Now, we do that with Second Bite. We also do Aldi. We do food pickup from them. Oh. We also do Woolworths in Seville. So we've got three arrangements with various supermarkets, and that means drivers for all of those pickups. And then, obviously, bringing back, we have to do a sort because some of it is just straight for animal feed. But the condition we have in those arrangements is that they would offer us for human consumption. That's the standard we need to be able to hope for.
Yep.
But obviously, if it's not, then we have pig farmers that they come and collect from us.
Yep.
And then we do order in from Food Bank. So
Food Bank, I know them.
Yep. So we do get a.
Are they still at Airport West?
Yarraville. And there's a Dandenong outlet.
Well, I thought so.
Yeah. Yep. So we do I try and keep that at a fortnightly rotation. That does cost us. It's definitely subsidised and it's a lower cost than if it was straight from a supermarket, but it does cost us as an organisation to purchase from them. And then otherwise, we are getting donations coming in from the community. I had a phone call from a local petrol station yesterday wanting to offload some of their out-of-date soft drinks, which is fine because a lot of our food will be just past its best date.
Yep.
And so what's wonderful, I feel like we're shifting into a new phase where the community are noticing and are willing to bring in donations.
Which is good.
That would be a wonderful thing.
Again, it's coming back to the community, looking after the community.
Yeah, which is the ultimate, I think. Yeah.
Right. So you've got the food.
Yep. And what was your next question?
So do you have volunteers hand it out? First of all, what's the criteria for the people to come and get it? And secondly, who hands them out on that day between 2 and 6?
Yeah, sure. 12 and 6. 12 and 6.
Oh, I wrote 12.
So let's say it's Thursday, 12 to 6. Yeah. So as far as the criteria, I know historically in a lot of the food relief spaces, the criteria would have been at a minimum a healthcare card or a pension card,
yep.
And that was true for us. But towards the end of last year, we definitely started to notice the shift of need where it was the working poor because of the cost of living increasing.
And I've done a number of interviews with people who tell me that both husband and wife, or de factos or whatever they could be, are both working and they're still poor because of high interest rates and all that, so that you've actually got people who are working two jobs who are still poor.
Yeah, and they're the ones I started to notice at the end of last year. I thought they're not going to be able to have a pension card because they're working,
yep.
But they are going to find themselves really strapped. And so it was an interesting, I think, realisation, because that would be our predominant group now, the working poor. And so then we changed our hours to be after hours intentionally to be able to capture those who need to come after work hours.
Yep.
So the criteria now is self-identification until we change that, because they don't need a pension card. They do just need to say, I am in financial hardship, yep. And I need help. And I think we're finding that for some people that's humbling enough.
I was just going to say to you, do you find that some of them, like, I'll just use this bit of analogy. You or I are walking down the street. We see something in a shop and we think, nah, I can't afford that. But we've made a choice that we can't afford it, but we possibly could. Do you find that the people who just genuinely can't come really, it's almost dragging them down that they've got to admit that they can't do it, particularly if they're running two jobs?
Mm. Yeah, I would say towards the end of last year and beginning of this year, there were a lot of people that walked through the doors who said, I've never been on this side. They said, I'm often the donor.
Right.
I'm the one that I've made donations for people or organisations. And so it was a beautiful exchange, because it's humbling for everyone involved, because what we would say in our organisation is you just can't judge because you do not know stories because, you know, in the past, maybe in a historical welfare space, people might have thought, you know, you could actually pick who was really in need. And I don't, and even sometimes on a Facebook post, I do get comments from community who say, I hope these are people who are really in need. And I will openly reply and say, there aren't many people who aren't really in need at this time because we've got the cost of living increase, but our salaries haven't necessarily increased accordingly. And so there's no margin. I mean, I hear stories all the time of people who are sending kids to school without food and hoping that the school's got a food pantry.
Some of the schools are doing that, aren't they?
Yeah.
All right, so now who's handing them out? Do you have volunteers or what do you do there?
Yeah, and this is where we're a little bit different too. I know what we used to do historically, and I do know what other places do. And it, some places will pre-pack bags and then hand out a bag.
Yep.
Some places will pre-pick food. But one of our big focuses for this year, in line with the social connection, is that we would actually... So we've got a front room that's full of the fresh and bakery. So it's like, you know, a beautiful array of fresh... you know, fruit and veg, and then the bakery. So people will go in there and help themselves. So it's really up for them to pick. And a lot of them have really thanked us for a sense of dignity in that process because, like we talked about before, for many of them it can feel very shameful to have to ask for the help they need.
It shouldn't, but it does.
Yeah, yeah. So they so in that space, they help themselves. In the pantry, we have a little bit of guidance because the pantry would obviously be our most costly space. It's the non-perishables.
Yep.
So it might be, you know, take two per household. But we also let them be there without any supervision, which that's unusual in a food relief space.
Yep.
And then in the fridge, we've got three areas. And then the fridge freezer area, we'll just assist a little bit in that space. But again, we let people choose. So we're not doing anything pre-packaged that they would end up with things they may not use.
Yeah. All right, I've got to take one more quick break and we'll be back with more.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present and emerging.
Still alive.
Now, Kathy, with all that you do, both the handing out the food on the Thursday, I got that right now, and the meal on a Wednesday, apart from that you have these supply lines already, are you always looking for donations from people who could, and we're talking here good stuff, like we're not talking about stuff that nobody wants, but are you always looking for things like that?
Yeah, so we definitely are, and so it's great that we've got some local businesses now that have cottoned on that, you know, like whether it be the petrol stations that can donate off just past the best date. But as far as from the community, the best way, and I think I'll run it through our Facebook, is if we run campaigns for one or two items so we can get a volume in, so like whether it be UHT milk or cans of tuna, that'll be our best way to do it rather than mixed bags of one or two items, because we get about 60 to 80 people per week that we're helping.
I was going to ask you that.
There you go.
60 to 80?
Yeah. And we've kind of, if I average that out, I've worked out it's probably about 280 people, individuals, that are being fed weekly through our program.
And that's so terrific, isn't it?
Yeah. So our best way to do a donation campaign would be like less items in volume. And so if people watch our Facebook page, and we'll get to that later, that'll be the way to follow what we're kind of looking for in gaps in our pantry, and that'd be wonderful. And as far as businesses go, yeah, we definitely would love donations of any sort. We're a charity and, you know, tax deductible. Yep. So right now I'm wanting to see if we can get our driveway sealed, because we've got one disabled car park and yet we probably need about four.
Yep.
And we've got a bit of a gravel slope and we've got people with walkers and wheelchairs. Ooh, and so it's a bit of a hazard. I would love to get that made accessible for all. So there's just always needs in our space, and we're always trying to, you know, access donations however we can.
So you would also wouldn't mind some cash donations too?
We'd love some cash donations.
That'd be terrific, wouldn't it?
It would be amazing.
And there must be some people out there at the moment that would be able to help you out. Certainly, maybe if you own a bitumen company or something like so that.
That would be wonderful.
Give them a yell and see what you can do for them.
Yeah.
Long term, I mean, I know that at the moment you start off as food relief, and now you've got, you know, the meals on a Wednesday. Do you have like plans long term, maybe for other drop in things during the week?
Yeah, absolutely, Al. So we would love in the future to do a lot more of the community program and community initiative stuff. We're a little light on staff at the moment. So Tuesday is our delivery in day, so that's a big like physical lifting and, you know,
Do you have volunteers for that as well?
Well, wonderfully, yesterday I had three community members help me, and so we're building a team for Tuesdays, and so that makes a huge difference.
Yep.
And again, it's the ones that have been receiving, so that's our big hope of the goal of, you know, we'd love to help you, but we also need help in return. So that's working well.
Yep. But that's not a part of the condition coming, though,
no,
is it?
No, definitely not a part of the condition, because people have physical limitations as well, you know. So there's all... So as far as in the future, we would love to. We've had a little bit of a dabble in the community art space, and we'll hope to relaunch that again in the future.
Yep.
Community garden space as well. So we'll definitely relaunch things that are more of a drop-in and community-led orientation.
Yep.
And we're already really kind of outgrown our facility. So so we have a bit of a problem, and that's a bit of a catch-22 for us. So we're just having to work with what we've got and the staff we've got at the moment, but we'll just keep growing with the hope to have a lot more where the community can come and drop in, for sure.
Well, because it's a natural flow on, isn't it? If they're coming on a Wednesday and they meet friends, it's probably better that they can do something on another day, maybe early in the week and things like that, isn't it? And so not only are you feeding them, but we come back to this, out of social isolation, they start to get, you know, to meet other people in a different way rather than just when you're getting a free meal.
I mean, that's the biggest goal beyond it all, isn't it? Is that they come to sit around the table and have conversation and get to know other community members. But like, you know, some of them are already finding the time to go and go for a walk around the lake together. They've found that connection, and so they'll meet outside of our organised lunch. you know, people are helping by picking people up instead of having to catch buses. So they're actually working out how to support each other and all of that.
That's a good point. So you actually, some of these people that obviously come to your lunches quite often, that they've got to the stage now where they'll pick someone else and bring them with them.
Totally, yeah.
Oh, that's terrific. I've got to take a quick break now. Look, ladies and gentlemen, if you, well, those that are listening, get your paper and pencil ready. Kathy's going to give you some contact details and website and Facebook and all that. So we'll be back in about 3 minutes. Oh, no, it's a short song. Back in about 2 minutes.
One day you'll look to see I've gone. For tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. Someday you'll know I was the one. But tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. And now the time has come, and so my love I must go. But tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. Yeah, tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. And now the time has come, and so my love I must go. But tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun.
And now we're keen to talk to Kathy again, as you from the Discovery Community Care down in Mount Evelyn. We've heard all about what they do. If there's if you're at home and you feel that you need a meal, because don't just sit at home by yourself on a Wednesday. Pop down there, and I must say hello down to them all down there. I believe they're all down there listening to us.
Wonderful.
Down there at Mount Evelyn. So hi to you all. Hope you're having a great lunch. Probably better than I had. I had a salad roll. I bet you're having a lot better than that. If people are home and they feel that they really do need it, or they are doing it tough and a lot of people are doing it, don't be embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Thursdays between 12 and 6, tomorrow you can go down and get some food relief. So how are they going to find out more about it, please, Kathy?
Yeah, so our most up-to-date space always is Facebook.
Yep.
So if they search for Discovery Community Care Mount Evelyn, so that's
the whole world.
Yep. So Discovery Community Care Mount Evelyn is what our Facebook page is called.
Yep.
And then as far as our website, that might have, our Facebook details will also give our phone number, but the website is www.discovery.com. I should actually look that up. I was just thinking, I rarely go to the website. Let me come back to that one. Let me give you the phone number.
Yep.
So 03-9739-6801. So that was 03-9739-6801. And I'm going to have to be... a little bit bashful, and so you'll have to do a Google search for our actual website. It'll come up just under Discovery Community Care Mount Evelyn, but the truth is our Facebook page is the most reliable.
Well, I guess it's the one that you keep up to date all the time, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I'm just trying to do a quick search before we...
Because while you're doing the search, I was going to say there are times, like, say, over the... school holidays where we close,
yep.
And we might just open for one day in the holidays to help people access food, but that would be on our Facebook page where they could actually get to know what our holiday hours would be. Here you go. Ready?
You got it.
www.discovery.com discoverycc.org.au. So that was www.discoverycc.org.au.
So if they look those up, they will get all the information. Now, that phone number, how often is that answered? Is it only certain days?
Well, the Monday and Tuesday are the better days to call because Wednesday and Thursday are pretty flat out.
Yep.
And so on the voicemail recording, it'll give all the information of the times if that's what people are wanting to follow up again, so they could just listen to the voicemail and hear it. But our email is community.care@discoverycc.org.au, and that's probably the most reliable way to put an inquiry through.
And I'm thinking also, if they've got any business listening today that would be prepared to donate, so give us that again, please.
So community.care@discoverycc.org.au, and we would love whatever support is available.
That'd be terrific. And bear in mind that I know there'll be one or two paid people because that's the only way you can run an organisation, but most of your labour are volunteers, aren't they?
Yeah. The reality is we've got 4 days allocation in terms of paid staff for this space, and that's between two staff members, and we probably have about 40 volunteers that are helping keep this thing afloat.
Which, let's go back to where we started this interview, it's the community helping the community.
It is, which is a wonderful way to summarise it.
All right, so pardon me to all those people down there today. I hope you're all having a great lunch. I'd love to hear what you're having for lunch, but anyway, that's another story.
It'll be delicious because Jocelyn's cooking.
But one of the things that we really need to stress, and because it is, I can imagine a person having to turn up tomorrow wanting some relief, and from what I'm being told, that some of the people in the last 12 months that have turned up at these organisations are people who never have before and never ever thought they ever would.
I'd agree. And so if people are feeling anxious to think they could never walk through the door for community meal, I would encourage them, come on a Thursday where it's, you know, coming for food relief, have a conversation with any of our volunteers, get to know us, and then see if coming to the meal on a Wednesday is an option for them.
Yeah. And use it as a bit of a day out if you're going to, you know, harking back onto this isolation. There are a lot of people out there we hear that are lonely. Go down, give it a gig. Go down, give it a shot. I mean, what do you got to lose? You'll get a nice lunch and have a good time at the same time.
Sounds wonderful.
Kathy, what made you get involved down there?
Yeah, I've been a part. So Discovery Community Care is connected to Discovery Church. And years ago when I lived in Hillsville, I did attend Discovery Church.
Right.
I've since lived all around the world and been many places. And I'm back in the Yarra Valley. And then my training is in health promotion, which is community development. I'm passionate about seeing people find themselves as a contributor to actually, you know, find pride in their own gifts and talents to, you know, contribute in community.
Yep.
And I'm a big believer that community, we're created for community. And so to be a part of a community and contribute in community, I 200% believe will actually resolve some of our mental health issues in society.
Look, I'd agree with that. I'd totally agree with that. And if you're a person that's doing it tough, there would be nothing worse than sitting at home feeling helpless or hopeless.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
So I would say give us a go, because what is wonderful about the people who join in, they would say it's the highlight of their week, which is really rewarding to hear.
Yep.
And we're literally just a bunch of people enjoying each other's company. And, so
with the opportunity to be able to meet elsewhere during the week.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great opportunity to be down the street doing the shopping and run into someone. I mean, some people tell me that with some of these organisations, they leave home to do the shopping, they get home 3 hours later, they've had lunch or they've had coffee. And we are social people. That's what we all want to be.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, Al, like, they put people in isolation for punishment.
That's true too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look, Kathy, we're just about to run out of time. Thank you for your opportunity. Thank you for coming in to talk to us. And I really wish you well in the future. And we'll talk to you sometime early in the new year.
Yeah, we appreciate this. Thanks, Al.
Thanks.